You're listening to Biceps After Babies Radio, episode 306. Hello and welcome to Biceps After Babies Radio, a podcast for ladies who know that fitness is about so much more than pounds lost or PRs. It's about feeling confident in your skin and empowered in your life. I'm your host, Amber Brzezicki, a registered nurse, personal trainer, wife, and mom of four. Each week, my guests and I will excite and motivate you to take action in your own personal fitness as we talk about nutrition, exercise, mindset, personal development, and executing life with conscious intention. If your goal is to look, feel, and be strong and experience transformation from the inside out, you, my friend, are in the right place. Thank you for tuning in. Now let's jump into today's episode. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Biceps After Babies Radio. I'm your host, Amber Brzezicki. And today on the podcast, I have Michelle Stiff, who is one of our TMCC graduates. So if you don't know, I have a transformational macro coach certification where we take coaches and we help them learn to pair macro counting with their clients, as well as transformational style coaching, where I'm really training coaches how to go deep with their clients, how to get to elicit their beliefs and be able to help them shift those beliefs and help them to prevent and squash self-sabotage. And the reason that I focus on this so much is because I've seen in my own coaching how, yeah, learning all the stuff is great. Learning the science is really great. And obviously there is a science when it comes to coaching, but really the art of coaching, the art of really connecting with your client, the art of digging deep into what's actually keeping them stuck makes all of the difference in the world. So anyway, that was kind of a side tangent, but Michelle just graduated from our TMCC coaching certification recently. And I wanted to bring her on the podcast because she is an expert and deals a lot with hormones and hormone syncing. And I thought that was something to be so fantastic to bring on the podcast because it's something I get asked questions about all of the time. And obviously hormones are a very complex subject, but Michelle does a really great job of breaking it down into simple, understandable pieces so that we can really start to understand our bodies as females. And important note, yes, if you get a monthly menstrual cycle, obviously this is for you. But if you don't, this is still for you because female hormones still continue to cycle even postmenopausal. And so a lot of the things that we're talking about are not just, well, we call it like hormone syncing or cycle syncing. It's not only for when you are actively bleeding or, you know, premenopausal, but also for postmenopausal as well. Now, before we dive into the episode, a couple things to note. One, Michelle talks about some free guides to talk about the different hormone phases, and we've linked those all up in the show notes. So if you go to bicepsafterbabies.com/306, so just the number of this episode, you'll be able to find all of those things linked on the show notes. Second thing, if you are someone who is interested in TMCC, if you are a current coach wanting to up-level your coaching and be able to really start to dig deep with your clients because you've noticed that one of the things that's really challenging to coach through is self-sabotaging behavior, or if you're somebody who has on their heart this idea of like, maybe I would like to become a coach, but I don't really know how to take that first step and that first leap into it, I highly recommend getting on the interest list for TMCC. We open doors twice a year. You can get on the interest list at bicepsafterbabies.com/cert, C-E-R-T, or we have a secret podcast just for people who are interested in learning more about transformational coaching. And you can go to bicepsafterbabies.com/secret. And I have 5 podcast episodes that will kind of get you understanding more about what is transformational coaching, why is it valuable, and how can you start to implement it into your coaching style. All right, let's dive into the episode with Michelle Stiff. All right, I would love to welcome Michelle to the podcast. Thanks for being on, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me, Amber. This is just such an honor to be here today.
I'm really excited to introduce you to my audience, and I'm really excited to listen to you for the next hour as well, because I just love South African, right? Like a South African accent.
It's funny. Yeah, I suppose people would say that from the States, but the South Africans would say she sounds very American now. But yeah, I grew up in Malawi, which is a former British protectorate. So I went to a British school.
Got it. Awesome. Well, I'm excited to listen to you for the next hour. So it'd be amazing for both of us. Okay. So we're going to start with just a little bit of introduction. Can you kind of give us a little bit of background on you and who you are and why you do what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Michelle. I'm the owner of my company, Wellness Elevate, and the creator of my signature program, which is called the Metabolic Momentum Method, which we'll talk about more later. But I kind of got into this. I've always been interested in health and fitness. And so I had first kind of, like you, went into group fitness and, you know, taught the step classes and all of that. I became a massage therapist. And then later on, I really like started to stack in my nutrition coaching and personal training. And my husband and I actually had an in-person studio in Malawi, which is central Southern Africa. That's where Madonna adopted her baby. So that's like most of how people
know
any context of where Malawi is. Very, very, you know, a poor country, which is hard to kind of see the poverty level there. But we were able to really build a successful business there, kind of more in the local and the expat community for 10 years, which was amazing. And then, you know, COVID hit and our business, we had actually just moved to the States and we decided we wanted that kind of change. But our business closed down in Africa, which was obviously very unexpected as the world shut down. Mm-hmm. And I decided I needed to find a way to do this online to be able to reach more people. And then I went in and I studied female hormones and metabolism, and we'll kind of go into the reasons why, because I had my own struggles. And now I do everything online, like kind of like what you do. And it's just been amazing to be able to have 11 different time zones in my coaching, which is so crazy, all these different countries, but it's been really incredible to have that like wider reach with clients.
Talk to me a little bit about that transition from in-person to online, because it is a transition and while there are similarities, there are for sure differences. And I'm just curious of like, was it a rough transition? Was it a smooth transition? Just what was that transition like?
Oh my goodness, Amber, it was so rough. You know, I think that we have this idea that, okay, I've had a business, I've run it in person, a brick and mortar. I'm just going to kind of take that and try to do it online.
Yeah.
And it's completely different. I had no idea about social media. I'd barely used Instagram before. And I was trying to like put it together with kind of like duct tape and spit, and that was not working at all. And I also realized that I loved the in-person stuff. I'm a very like social person. I love the connection. But as you know, like fitness is only one side of our health and well-being. Mm-hmm. And that's why I seeked out you, and we'll talk about transformational coaching. But I wanted to be able to help especially women on a much deeper level than just working out and kind of standing next to someone or leading group fitness classes. So for me, I had always felt there was a little bit of something missing, even as an in-person trainer, that I just feel that gap has been bridged online in a way that I never thought. But it was difficult to get started and to know what to do. And we'll talk a lot about mentorship and having a coach. I have a coach like in every area of my life now. And I just realized that having that structure and the guidance and a system to follow is so important, because trying to figure it out on your own, you're going to spin your, just like in our fitness journey, you're going to spin your wheels.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. I think when you really experience the benefit of a coach and how much faster it can get you to where you want to go, you start wanting to hire a coach in like every area of your life. You're like, this is amazing. Where else can I hire a coach? Where else can I like have the shortcut? And I think those of you who are listening who are coaches, if you're not also hiring coaches, I think that there becomes like this disconnect of you trying to say, hey, you should buy a coach, but I'm not willing to invest in coaching. And so you invest in coaching, I invest in coaching. I think all good coaches recognize the value and are like, yeah, I want to get there a little faster, a little less mistakes. I'm going to pay and invest in some coaching because that's going to help me.
Yeah, you got to put your, I totally agree. And that investment in yourself, in your own personal growth, you're going to show up as a way better coach. And again, if you're telling people that they need to invest in themselves, but you're unwilling to do that, that is a huge, really lack of integrity, I think, for a lot of us.
Yeah, I agreed. So you were in our last round of TMCC, which is our Transformational Macro Coach Certification. And I know we chatted a bit beforehand to see if it would be a good fit for you, because you have built a successful business and you are coaching clients and, you know, you've built a lot of amazing things on your own. And so what made you want to come and join the Transformational Macro Coach Certification? And what was different about that that allowed you to, you know, go back into your business and show up in a different way?
Oh my goodness, Amber. You know, I've been like a total fangirl for quite a while, like following you on the podcast and everything you do. And I realized from your coaching, and I love that you would take like small coaching clips, you know, and you would put it on your podcast. And I just, because I'd listened to you for so long, I was like, the way she coaches is different than what I've learned. And I actually have a background as a teacher. I did high school. That was, you know, what I studied in college. And I kind of subbed for a while. And I love teaching. But there's a difference between teaching and giving advice and being a cheerleader versus what happens with transformational coaching. And when I started to listen to your podcast and how you coach people, I realized that I had a big gap there, that I was just defaulting into always teaching and giving the advice, because again, that was my background. And I love you say, you know, the quality of our lives are based on the quality of the questions we ask ourselves. And I realized that I wasn't asking good questions to myself, to my clients, you know, and letting them come up with the answers instead of me being like, and I think it's a little bit of an ego boost for a lot of coaches. Like, I have the answer.
Yeah.
Here you go.
I want people to feel good paying me. And so if it's like, if I have all the answers, then I feel like, okay, they'll feel good paying me because I can give them all the answers. So, I mean, I get why people do it.
Exactly. And it's easier too, right? We have to really think about the questions and how we're asking them to our clients so that they go deeper. It's more difficult than just being like, here, just do this thing, right? Yeah. And I realized that even in just listening, and I started to ask myself different questions, and it totally has changed everything in my life in terms of how I'm showing up for myself, how I'm able to coach clients, my success coaches, everything is changing. And it's been incredible. It was the most worthwhile thing that I've done for myself.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it really, like you said it so well, it's like, it is harder and it is more transformational, right? That like, it is like, you're paying the harder price to get more bang for your buck in the long term, because you and I both know that like, yeah, we can give someone advice. We can tell them what to do. And maybe that'll do a little bit right now,
but
it's like, for a little while, but it's like that long-term transformation, that long-term, ability that they have to be able to be successful. It doesn't last if it's just like, you have all the answers, as the coach, and they have to keep coming to you for the answers, and learning how to ask those better questions teaches not only you, but your clients to be able to really continue on that path long-term. And it's
And exactly like you and I are both in the business of, teaching autonomy, and so that they can, you know, leave the program and know how to coach themselves, not to have to rely on messaging me for the questions, like coming up with their own answers.
Yeah.
They're their own expert. They're the ones living their lives in their body with, you know, everything they do. So when we can teach that, it's so empowering. And again, that's where the true lasting change. And I love the saying that I'd heard somewhere, if I say it, you doubt it. But if you say it and you come up with it, you're going to own it.
Totally.
And you're much more likely to follow through with that when you're coming up with your own plan than someone else telling you what to do anyway.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. I totally, totally agree with that. What has been the most surprising thing for you becoming a coach? And maybe I mean, like, quantify it as like becoming a coach in the online space. You know, what has surprised you the most about this path that you've been on the last couple of years?
Do you know, I think that I had no clue of the own personal growth that I needed to experience.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. I'm glad you said that. That's really good.
It has been a roller coaster. And I don't know if you found this, but often our clients mirror either what we've gone through or what we are going through.
Yep.
So like attracts like. And it's like, wow, this is a lesson that I'm really, and you always say, we either get the result we want or the lesson we need. And I feel like I've been bashed over the head with lessons sometimes over and over again. until I was like, right, I'm ready to learn this lesson now and take my past experiences instead of seeing it as a failure or, you know, getting down on myself with shame and blame and guilt. Like, mm-hmm. how can I use that to move forward in my own journey? Mm-hmm. And it's been, they call it the entrepreneurial roller coaster for a reason, right?
Totally.
You have to up level and step. Yeah. And I know that you love the book, The Slight Edge, and also where they talk about that, what is the one by the other one by Gay Hendricks, the Big upper leap. Limit, where they talk about the
big leap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That upper limit problem that mm-hmm. we all face. And yep. if we're not willing to dive deep and do that personal growth, we're going to stay stuck and stagnant and self-sabotage essentially.
Yeah, for
is
sure.
what I've found.
Yeah. And I 100%, I believe that life is a mirror and our clients often become a mirror for us. To see where we are lacking or what we need to work on ourselves. And I think when you can approach coaching, it becomes a co-created relationship instead of what I feel like a lot of times coaching becomes is like a top-down relationship where it's like, I'm the parent, you're mm-hmm. the child, I'm the coach, you're the student, I know more than you, you know less than me, let me pour into you. And it becomes more of a level playing field where you are in communion, you are in connection with a person and you're offering them things and they're offering you things. They offer it back 100%. In that mirror. And you want to grow as a person, start a business or have children or get married. I feel like those are like the three little containers that just like pressure us into growth and change because you can't stay the same person. It's like they pressure you into like learning things about yourself and becoming a different version of yourself.
Well, and I've learned so much from my clients than that. I feel like I'm a better wife because of it. Totally. I'm a better mom, you know, all of those things. I'm learning every day. And I think that's what's so cool about coaching because no client is the same. Yeah. Every scenario is different. It's just so exciting when you can support people, but again, up level yourself in your life. It's amazing.
Okay. So there are people listening to this podcast who in the back of their mind, they have this idea that they would maybe someday perhaps like to become a coach, but there's a lot of fear, right? There's a lot of fear mm-hmm. that is standing between them and actually executing on that. So while there is a slight desire, a pull, a draw towards it, like fear is currently stopping them from starting to serve mm-hmm. clients or building a business or, you know, coaching in general. What advice do you have as someone who is obviously push past some of that fear in your own journey. What advice would you have for somebody to get started and to honor that desire that they have?
Yeah. And that, I think if you don't have that fear, that would be more abnormal than having it.
Agreed.
Right? Like,
yeah.
And so I would say like, just jump, like take action. We can sit here and stew in analysis paralysis and have all that. And having self-doubt is part of it, but huge growth comes on the back end of pushing outside your comfort zone. So yeah, you can stay small over here and keep doing what you've always done and keep getting what you've always gotten, or you can push yourself. And I think everyone probably listening to this could think of a time in their life where they're like, I pushed myself and the reward was so worth it, but it was challenging.
It was hard. Yeah.
I was pushed. I was like, you know, I think about, I'm like blood, sweat, and tears went into it, you know, literally moments where I wanted to give up, be like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm done. You know, that even stepping into TMCC, I had moments like that. And I honestly feel like the coaching that I got in TMCC and being in that container and all the coaching you gave me and the other women really helped me push through because I was going through a really challenging time in my business. So having that support, having the community, having coaching is so key. Just like most women in their wellness journeys, having a coach in their corner will help navigate those storms and to just do it. So stop overthinking it and to trust that you can show up and you can do it. And my back was against the wall. I had to take out a loan.
Sure.
It was scary. We had lost everything. My husband didn't have a job. And I was like, I will make this work. Like, sure. I have to find a way to make it work. And I think that if you have the right systems and the right support and structure, like, it's achievable for all of us, like if we're willing to do the things.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Okay, I want to shift a little bit and talk a little bit about your background and get into some hormone and metabolic talk. So what caused you to kind of pick this niche to kind of go into hormones and really make that an area of expertise for yourself?
Yeah. So it was my personal experiences. So I was one of those girls that was just thicker than a lot of my friends naturally. I wasn't like effortlessly thin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was teased as a child growing up. As young as 4, I remember being like kind of fat shamed. And so when I was 11, I actually used to do like home workout videos with my mom, you know, like the, mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever did, you know, the, with the leotards, kind of the Jane Fonda stuff.
Oh,
and
totally.
I was like, I want to do that one day. Like that's, I loved it. Really enjoyed it. And that kind of got me though on a, like I'm going to exercise and eat less. And I actually ended up losing a lot of weight around age 12, 13, didn't get a cycle. I got like one cycle and then I lost all the weight and it didn't come back. And I was 16 years old and it still hadn't come. And I remember I had moved to the States and I was on the swim team and I was for my build, I was skin and bone at that point. And my coach said, if you want to improve, you need to build some muscle, you need to eat. Mm-hmm. And that kind of opened the floodgates because I didn't really have a plan. And it's what we do, you know, as coaches walking through reverse diets. I didn't know what that was, right? Yeah. I just started eating. I just was like, okay, he told me to eat. And I rapidly gained a ton of weight. You know, I had stretch marks everywhere. And then I felt pretty miserable in my body. And I decided, okay, I need to find some balance. And that's when I decided to study a little bit more about, you know, teaching and becoming a personal trainer. But none of my certifications really talked about metabolic adaptation. Mm. So in my 20s, I was just working out more and more, eating less and less. And then I was in my late 20s when my husband and I decided, you know, maybe we want to think about having kids, but I hadn't had a cycle in 4 years because mm-hmm. I was just chronically under eating and over. And, you know, it's easy when you own a fitness studio and you're teaching classes and you're training people to get in a lot of exercise. That was no problem for me, but I kept trying to get leaner and leaner and it was backfiring. I started to gain more and more weight. I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism. And again, cycle MIA means you can't get pregnant. And so I went to endocrinologists, I went to naturopaths, I was having acupuncture. Mm-hmm. I was on like $500 of supplements every month and no one could figure out what was going on because I was gaining weight. So they didn't think, oh, well, this girl's under eating and over exercising or that her body is stressed, right? Mm-hmm. Their immediate thing was like, no, she's fine. Her weight's fine. She's getting bigger. She must be overeating. And so I was like, there's something here. And so I started to study about metabolic adaptation a little bit then. And I decided, okay, if I want to get pregnant, I do have to eat more. And I jumped. I didn't do like a slow reverse. I just was like, I just need to eat. Got it up and I reversed it. I got my cycle back within a month. And I got pregnant right away. Mm-hmm. And then I had 4 miscarriages in a row.
Oh, wow.
And so that was definitely a journey. But in learning that, it's very clear why our reproductive functioning holds as a female when you're under eating. And our cycle is kind of like our report card. It's really cool. Men don't have that. So we know that when our cycle goes missing or starts to get really heavy or irregular, that there's something going on there hormonally that we can try to, you know, figure out what's going on and get to the root cause. So that's when I started studying more about female hormones and metabolism.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think for a lot of coaches, it is that pathway of walking through something you've experienced yourself and have to figure out and have to learn and have to wrestle with. And then when you have some experience, some knowledge, some success, it's like, oh gosh, I know there's other women who are going through the same thing and I want to be able to help them through it. So it makes a lot of sense that would lead you down that path. So let's talk a little bit about hormones because I think there is a lot of misunderstanding about hormones. I think it becomes a really buzzy word in the industry mm-hmm. where it's like, we just like throw around this word, like your hormones are so important and balance your hormones. And like, what the heck does that even mean?
What does it mean?
Yeah. So like, let's talk a little bit about hormones and the role that they play in weight management and, you know, specifically what hormones we're talking about or we're commonly trying to target or work on when we are talking about weight loss or talking about, you know, weight loss and menstruation and overall reproductive health.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the thing is with hormones too, it's kind of like a game of bad telephone that can be played, right? Because hormones are those chemical messengers. So if one of those messages or they send the wrong message, then it has that cascade effect on all the other hormones. And so I think, you know, typically we, as women, we're like, oh, we think about estrogen and progesterone and testosterone and things like that. And those are partially it, but we really need to look at, you know, insulin and, you know, how are our blood sugar levels? How are our stress? Because the metabolism isn't really a calculator. We think about calories in and out, but it's more like a stress barometer. And absolutely, we have to create a calorie deficit to be able to lose fat. But there are some hormonal repercussions, especially if we go into a very steep deficit, right? Mm-hmm. That our body is going to then try to compensate. So thyroid slows down. We can end up with higher cortisol, which can affect, you know, belly fat and things like that. It can wake you up in the middle of the night, you know, if you're having certain spikes and dips. If you don't have balanced blood sugar throughout the day, that can lead to, you know, obviously insulin resistance, which is becoming more and more common these days too. So there's a ripple effect for a lot of those things. And that's why, like you said, when we think about hormone balancing, we still have to think about the base of the pyramid, our lifestyle, our habits, nailing in our sleep, optimizing, you know, our stress levels, not working out too much, but not working out too little. It's kind of like finding the Goldilocks. And that's going to be so unique for each woman. But, you know, a lot of the symptoms of like low metabolic function are, you know, having a lot of energy crashes, brain fog, moodiness, depression, obviously like issues with digestion, gut health is a big area. That a lot of women struggle with. You know, they either like have constipation or, you know, they're just not regular. They don't go for days. They have digestive upset, bloating, things like that. Those are all signs. You know, a lot of fatigue, you can't concentrate, hair, skin and nails getting very dry and falling out. Those are all signs. And thyroid, hypothyroidism is also very, very common nowadays. And I think, again, that is due to the stress that we have in our society and in our daily lives now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one thing I really appreciate, and you and I have talked about this, is I think obviously hormones are really important. And I also think that sometimes people skip over some of the base of the pyramid and go straight to hormones and wanting to like buy all the supplements and do all the like testing and things like that. And it's like, yes. And these things are foundational. Your nutrition is foundational. Your exercise regimen, your amount of sleep you're getting, stress control, right? And you're hopping over some of these things that really are big needle movers and can do a lot for your hormones, to like stabilize your hormones naturally before hopping into like, what supplements do I need to take? And what are all these other things that I need to do? And so, you know, for someone who's listening, if you don't have those down pat, focus there first, like get that
correct.
Get that first. And I know you with your clients, that's where you really focus. It's like,
that's
okay, we're going to get to hormones, but let's check all the boxes first before we dive into that.
And we really have to look at it from a holistic, like at the system. How are the systems functioning? Yeah. Hormones are not a root cause. There is it's kind of like if you were to have a boat and it has a massive hole in it and it's gushing water and you're trying to scoop it out with your hands. It's not going to solve the issue. The boat's still going to sink. We need to plug the hole and get to the root of that system dysfunction. If you're sleeping 4 hours a night and you know, you're not eating most meals, or you're just eating, you know, a small meal and processed food all day long, and you're stressed out constantly, like nothing is going to help. There's no magic pill that's going to fill those gaps if we don't. Yeah. So that's always the foundation. And then like things like supplements, even HRT is really the top of the pyramid to fill in those gaps once you have a solid foundation.
Yeah. It's almost like if we like take your analogy, it's like you have the boat and we got to like plug the hole. And then like the other stuff we do, it becomes like the like little stuff we stuff around the edge of the hole to like,
plug
it, like keep it a little tighter, a little like white, you know, a little watertight. I like that analogy.
Exactly.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about hormone syncing. Cause this is a kind of, again, like a buzzword of things that people may have heard about. What is hormone syncing?
Yeah, absolutely. And you might hear it as cycle syncing. And here's the question I always get is like, well, if I don't have a cycle anymore, or I'm on birth control, or I'm post-menopause, can I still do hormone syncing? And you know, the answer to that is absolutely. So as women, the female body is so fascinating. We're almost like four different bodies throughout the course of the month.
Yeah.
So if you have a normal, and I'll use the term cycle interchangeably with a menstrual cycle. So if you do have a monthly bleed, or the moon cycle, if you don't have an actual bleed, because the 28-day moon cycle was actually, it is kind of synced with the 28-day female cycle on average, right? You could have a shorter cycle, you could have a slightly longer cycle, and that's fine. But essentially, you know, as a woman, we have different fluctuating hormones. So our brain chemistry changes from week to week. How we obviously, like our strength levels, even our sensitivity to carbohydrates change depending on where you're at in your cycle. And even post-menopause, we don't have like flatlined hormones. We still have some of those hormones. We just don't have them in the same amount that we did when we were younger and ovulating and having a normal cycle. So when we start to hormone or like sync with the different phases of our hormone or menstrual cycle, we can really start to optimize things for, say, muscle growth, for recovery, for even the things like in your social life or with, you know, what you like to do for work. You know how there are times when you're like in a brainstorming mode and you're super creative and you're like, I've got all these ideas. And then other times where you're like a little bit more withdrawn and you want to just kind of stay home and nest or Netflix and chill. That's actually because we have different, you know, different hormone profile. And so when we can learn to sync with our cycle, it actually, it decreases stress in our system. We feel like we're able to recover more. We don't feel so burnt out. And it actually helps our metabolism, because our metabolism changes in the first half of the cycle, it's a little lower. And then after ovulation, it actually increases. So when we start to, that's why a lot of women, you know, like PMS, I get so hungry and I'm moody and you feel like you have all the cravings. Well, there are strategies that you can use in order to mitigate that, or times when you feel like super social and other times when you're like, I don't want to see anyone right now. Mm-hmm. And so when you learn that about yourself, you can work with your body, and instead of feeling like I must do this or I should be doing these things, and it just becomes, it's like periodization with your period, essentially, mm-hmm. kind of like what you would do, you know, in the gym too. And certain times where you can push heavier weights and really like try to max out, and other times where you might need to do more yoga or Pilates, like kind of lower intensity, bleed and breathe kind of thing, you know, mm-hmm. just like go inwards. And women always are saying to me that they're like, wow, that was such a huge aha, because I felt that my whole life, but I felt like I couldn't do those things, that I had to always push, push, push. Mm-hmm. And that really, I think, creates a lack of trust almost with your own body.
Mm-hmm. Will you talk us through just like a normal 28-day cycle, some of the peaks and valleys and some of the things that mm-hmm. we should be thinking about in each of those phases? You know, you kind of like touch on a little bit, but if, can we do like yeah. a step-by-step going through that for each of the phases?
Yeah, absolutely. And I actually have, you can maybe share that in the show notes, like a little like supercharge your hormones little guide that kind of yeah. walks through the different phases. But, you know, we consider day one of the cycle, day one of bleeding, or the new moon. If you don't have a cycle, you can kind of use this and you can train your body almost to start to have like these different phases, even if you don't have an actual, you know, period that's happening. So we know that when we have like when we have our menstrual cycle and are actually physically losing, you know, blood from our system, that's a time where all of our hormones are kind of bottomed out at that point. We feel depleted, right? So that's usually not a time when women feel like, oh, yeah, I want to go and have like a PR during that yeah. time, or like, not PR, you know, time. What I mean? It's not right. I've never heard of a woman say like, that's when I want to do things. And so, again, that's a time where we also have like more prostaglandins and more inflammation and stress in our system. So it's a really good time, again, for lower intensity kind of workouts then, for extra rest. We actually need a little bit more sleep then as well. And to really focus on nourishing foods, as obviously we're losing iron and things like that during that time. So really trying to replenish a lot of our minerals during that time. Then as we, you know, around day four or five, we start to feel a lot better, right? We start to feel our energy rising as estrogen kind of peaks in that phase. So we're in the first 2 weeks of your cycle, you're estrogen dominant. And that's a time, it's a really good time to be focused on, you know, building muscle during that time. Again, as you're coming out of your cycle, you can lift heavier weights. You're more stressed, resistant during that time. So again, you can get away with harder workouts, higher intensity, and things like that. Now, around ovulation, it peaks at that time. So, and typically at ovulation, and this is so interesting from a biological perspective, it's the time when obviously we can get pregnant, right? So a lot of women feel like more outgoing, you know, like they feel more confident in themselves, then they feel better in their body. And that's also because testosterone kind of peaks at that time. So it's that biological drive to reproduce. So that makes perfect sense. And then after ovulation, it starts to taper off. So our estrogen starts to, relative to progesterone, is lower. And progesterone is our progestation hormone, right? So if you think about estrogen, progesterone, they're kind of like the twin sisters, where estrogen is the feisty, like, let's go out and party. And again, like, build muscle and all these things. And progesterone's like the worry twin sister, like, let's stay home, let's relax and you know, do things, like the worried one. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's and that's really in preparation again for a potential embryo plantation and implantation in that second half. So in that phase after ovulation is a time when we're more stress sensitive, and we're actually more insulin resistant during that phase because of the higher progesterone, which means that we can actually look at optimizing our carbohydrate intake a little bit too, especially because you're more prone to blood sugar dysregulation, spikes and dips during that second half. And we actually need more sleep, more recovery and things like that in that phase. So that's a really good time to, you can still do weight training and things like that, absolutely, like the whole month. I'm never telling a woman, don't do that. But, you know, going a little bit lighter, maybe higher repetitions during that time, more yoga and Pilates, more restorative stuff, again, the extra sleep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are certain foods that you can also kind of boost naturally. I do some seed cycling with my clients. So we focus on different seeds in the first half of the cycle versus the second half to kind of balance out and naturally boost estrogen and progesterone. And so they're like just small. And again, we still have to focus on the base, the base of the pyramid, but it's small tweaks and things that we can do to optimize that hormone profile and just relieve, you know, PMS symptoms. You know, when some women have debilitating cramps or really heavy cycles, things like that. So when you start to work, or say menopausal symptoms that are really severe, it starts to just balance out. You know, some of my clients in their 60s, they're like, I have never felt so good. Like, my symptoms are gone. I'm sleeping through the night. I'm not having the hot flashes, or, you know, the heavy periods can, and the symptoms around PMS start to just become more manageable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So speak a little bit too, and maybe you've already like answered this question, or maybe there's more to answer it, but I do know you had mentioned previously, like, a lot of women coming to you and saying, you know, I'm just like ravenous during my period. And I just like, you know, I find that I like just, I can keep it together the rest of the month, but I just like can't hold it together during that PMS time. For someone who maybe struggles with that, is there any other tips or suggestions or things that they could do like right now that would help to at least start to make a little bit of improvement on that, so they feel a little bit more like they can manage that time of the month?
Yeah, absolutely. So for a lot of my clients, when we're doing like more hormone cycling stuff, is they get a few more calories during that time too, because metabolism increases anywhere from 10 to 15% in that time anyway. And so, and because we're more stress sensitive, if you're thinking about being in a super deficit, that could increase the stress response and increase stress hormones, leading to more blood sugar dysregulation, more craving, all of those things, right? Yeah. So having more food in that time, and maybe even completely pulling out of a deficit for a week and kind of cycling that is a very smart approach. Again, looking at your workouts and figuring out how can I still do those things, but at a, you know, lesser intensity. Also prioritizing healthy fats, rather, because we are more insulin resistant during that phase. If you can prioritize more healthy fats, it'll help to stabilize blood sugar levels, which will again help with the cravings, the energy and things like that. And then just allowing yourself to rest.
Yeah.
Rest and not do anything. Mm-hmm. And just like, and I think that alone has been, it was huge for me, because I was always just like, go, 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 push, push, push. And having that permission to listen to your body and rest extra will just, it's amazing. Take a little nap during the, you know, if you can during the day or things like that, can make such a big difference for women and their symptoms during that time.
Yeah. I mean, I think about everything in nature is in cycles. Like, there is nothing in nature that doesn't go in cycles of like rest, recovery, like active times. Like, you think about trees, you think about animals, you think about plants, like it all works in cycles. And yet somehow we think that we are exempt from that, and we can always just run life on like a high level and that we never need to like cycle down and, you know, go through that rest and recovery phase. So I think you know, even just giving yourself that permission. I think a lot of women just struggle to even give themselves permission. They think that they should be always PRing. They should be always pushing hard at the gym. They should, you know, shouldn't need a nap. They shouldn't, you know, shouldn't have to eat more food or anything. And it's just like embracing and understanding that just like anything in nature, cycles are so important, and working, what I hear you saying over and over is like, let's work with that natural cycle and not against
it. Yeah. And it's funny because we can actually like the four phases of the cycle, you can kind of associate with seasons. So the menstrual phase being winter, you know, being thinking about like even the types of foods, like more warming foods and stews and resting more. And then you go into, you know, after winter, there's spring, right? Mm-hmm. And then as we go into that summer, which is ovulation, everything kind of peaks and you've got more energy and all that. And then you go into autumn, you know, in that, that PMS phase when... And so it's really cool when you think about it like that. And again, I think for most women, it's that permission to work with their body that they're like, wow, I feel like I fought myself my whole life. And now I'm actually working with my body. And that is so freeing for so many women.
I've even heard people talk about, this is kind of sideways related, but I've heard entrepreneurs talk about the same cycles of like seasons in their entrepreneurial journey. And I think it's the same thing where a lot of times we always feel like we have to be in summer and we're selling and we're pushing and we're driving and making the connection with that of like, actually, there are seasons in our business where it's like, yes, there are times that I am pushing and I'm working extra hard and I'm working longer hours and I'm doing, you know, a lot of things. But if that isn't followed by a period of like rest and recovery and rejuvenation, you're going to burn yourself the heck out. And so learning how to like incorporate those cycles into everything that we do is just that you can't always be on, you know, it's like we need those times 100%. Of rest and recovery to be able to keep going.
And I think that that's part of the reason we have so much stress in our society today because we can be on all the time.
Yeah.
At the click of a button, we can't switch off. We don't know how to do that. And even like on a more micro level, like I've said, your three M's, like your meals, movement, and mindset, you can work with your metabolism doing that. And like for me, even with my work, you know, and you do 5-day challenges and things like that. And I do those as well. That I actually time it with my cycle when I'm in more of that, you know, spring, summertime versus I don't want to do a 5-day challenge if I'm about to get my period. That is not when I schedule it. So I actually do work events and different things like that when I know I've got that higher energy and I feel more social, like right now, versus if you get me next week, it's going to be, you know, a different feeling from me because I won't want to be as social. And so even on a micro level, you can start to make shifts. So you don't deplete yourself and you don't burn out so quickly.
That's so smart. Can you speak to any, like, and you kind of mentioned a couple healthy fats, things like that, but any like specific dietary recommendations or nutritional strategies that you recommend as people are starting to sync with their cycle or get familiar with their cycle or know how to make adjustments during that time period?
Yeah. And I think bio-individuality is so important here, right? We are all very unique. And so it's hard to give like a blanket statement, like everyone needs to do this.
Yeah.
We do know that, you and I are very much in alignment with like the 80-20 rule that we can access. And we just had Halloween, right? There's like candy everywhere. And that, you know, that we can still fit in those things. But if we're really prioritizing foods that you could either grow or kill, right? Yeah. That are naturally found are going to be the best for our cellular function. So if you think back to like, and I know that you with your background in the medical field, you know this, but just for listeners, like the mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell. And we can have like a power factory that creates a lot of smoke and dirty, just like a dirty plant, which is kind of like a damaged mitochondrial cell. Or we can have one that functions really well and it's like clean energy, it's effective. And that's what we want to think about on a cellular level. How can we increase mitochondrial function? So eating whole foods is really, really important for that. And for some people, it means tuning into their own digestion. You know, you might be able to eat, you know, legumes and beans and things like that. And it tears my stomach apart. Like I can't have those things. Some people are gluten intolerant. So it's really individual and having to look at your own symptoms and how your own body is feeling, but minimizing, again, eating a lot of packaged and processed foods, which is just a good blanket recommendation in general, right, in the health and fitness space. But again, stress, of all kinds really impacts digestion. And, you know, in terms of hormone functioning, 70% of our immune system and our hormones are produced in our gut. So if we aren't well nourished, it's going to affect even the neurotransmitters in our brain, which can lead to anxiety and depression and insomnia and all sorts of things. So, you know, again, that is the basis of most of this is trying to eat those whole foods. You talk a lot about protein and balancing, you know, out your blood sugar and having those, not going huge stretches without food is really important for the female metabolism. And with intermittent fasting being such a common thing, that's also something that needs to be customized to the woman. And I would say those long, long fasts for a lot of women are not doing them any favors in any way.
I was just having a conversation with my husband. So my husband works in the medical field, specifically with females. And it's just so interesting how, you can call whatever you want, patriarchy, feminism, whatever, sexism. But female health is like so far behind male health. And for so long, we have thought that females are just little men. And if you do a research study on men and we find something out, that can be extrapolated exactly over to women. And the more that we learn about the female body and the intricacies and the nuances of the female body, females are not just little men. And so this idea that we can take we can say, oh, this worked for men, and so it is going to work for women, just doesn't make sense and it doesn't work. And I think that's kind of what you're starting to see with like intermittent fasting may be good for men. It may be worse for women. It may be worse for some women, you know? And so There is so many nuances and intricacies, and we just, bioindividuality is such a thing, but then even just on a broad gender level, is like women are not the same as men. And you would be surprised that so much of the research studies are done on men because there is a lot.
They're easier to study too.
Well, because it's easier to maintain cohesiveness of a group, right? With women, you have a whole lot, like you're dealing with their cycles, right? It is different. And so when you're trying to account for, as many variables and limit as many variables as possible, it's easier to do that on men and then just be like, oh, women are just the same. It's not the case. And so
they didn't even study women and the stuff until it was like the 70s.
Oh, I mean,
it's crazy.
Crazy. Well, so my husband is a urogynecologist, which is basically a female urologist. Urology has been a board certified specialty since like, I probably should look it up, but it's like the 50s or the 60s. Like it's been a board certified specialty for a long time. Urogynecology has been a board certified specialty for like 10 to 15 years. Right. Exactly. It's like, it's just female health is so far behind what we have done with male health, at being the standard. And anyway, it gets me all riled up and
I get so riled up. And I say that all the time. We are not small men.
We're not.
We are completely different. And again, most of those studies and even the traditional like diet and fitness programs are designed for young men. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you. Most of my clients are like, they're definitely not men. And we're, 35 plus most of the clients that I'm seeing right now. And, we go through four different potential phases in our life, and men go through two, and even five if you consider pregnancy in there, right? We have different phases and different hormone profiles that we need to take into account, and it's really done a disservice for women. And that's why I decided to study this. I was like, I was blown away that that we weren't included in more. So thank you for mentioning that. It's really important.
One thing last thing I'd love you to speak to a little bit is menopause. If there's anything that you, because I know we've talked saying, a lot of the cycle syncing isn't necessarily if you're bleeding. So even, postmenopausal has a lot of the similarities, but it is one of those like four different stages of your life is like the postmenopausal. And so what considerations should someone who is postmenopausal be thinking about or implementing as they're going through that, pre, peri, and postmenopausal stage?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we know in perimenopause, which really starts around age 35, that we start to lose estrogen and progesterone over time. And it's not a steady decline. It's not like you see a graph and it just goes down, right? Mm-hmm. It kind of fluctuates, but the general trend is going down. And we talked about the twin sisters, estrogen and progesterone. And when we're losing those over time, it's kind of like our suit of armor and our shield against stress that we are now losing. And this is why you see a lot of women over time, you know, how younger women have more of like the curvy hourglass. And then over time, we start to gain weight more in the middle, kind of like how men do, right? It becomes more of like that apple shape. And that again is because we are losing those hormones. So we become a lot more stress sensitive. My clients who come to me often are like, I never had insomnia or anxiety. And now all of a sudden, I can't sleep. I'm waking up multiple times during the night. I'm gaining the belly fat when I didn't before. So we also become, because we've lost our estrogen and progesterone, and remember, estrogen helps us become more insulin sensitive so we can eat more carbs. Now, all of a sudden, we don't have as much of that. So we do need to look at kind of the carbohydrate threshold for that individual woman, never cutting it out completely, never going super low carb or doing, you know, I'm not going to go into like, you know, a rant about like super low carb diets and why those aren't great for women and our thyroid, but they're not good for our hormones. But it's finding like that sweet spot for each woman. And it depends on so many factors, right? It depends on their own physiology, their muscle mass, their activity, their stress, their sleep. So many different factors go into that, but we need to kind of look at that. So that's one area. Optimizing, you know, nutrient intake. A lot of women, especially my clients who are, you know, in that perimenopause, menopause space, they've been under eating like most of their lives. They're scared to eat, wouldn't you say? Like that generation, a lot of women, again, it's just how little can we eat and how you know, how low can we get that scale to go? And when they start to prioritize protein, building muscle, like doing some weight training, prioritizing sleep, things start to fall into balance. It's not an overnight fix. Nothing is, right? But so being a little bit more aware of those things, and instead of thinking, what can I cut out? How can I replete things? What can I add in to my life and diet to decrease stress and help my energy, and having that sort of mindset over the restriction mentality, which it's hard after years of social conditioning, but taking the time to really take care and heal your metabolism, like what you teach in a reverse diet, I call it a boost phase, is like, I feel like where the magic is for so many women, because it's not just about eating more food. It's really about, you know, healing and getting metabolic capacity to a much better place than where it's down here and Bosch and Dal and people feel awful.
Yeah.
1200 calories. I have so many clients coming to me eating around 1000 calories a day. And I'm like, I don't even know how you're functioning right now. And they're like, I've just done this for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was actually just talking to a client about this, and you know, she was saying like, I just like, this is my normal, right? It's like low energy, not being able to do like, that's my normal. And I become accustomed to it. And she's like, I'm ready to like, not be accustomed to it anymore.
Yes.
But I think for so many women, it just becomes their new normal and they don't know anything different. And what I love is like, when we can get a woman to like eat more calories and like finally feel what it feels like to be fully fueled, like,
yes.
And then they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, I never knew what I was missing. And it's amazing. It's one of my favorite things.
It's my favorite. If I could just like do that, it would be amazing. And how good people feel. And they're like, women are like, I have more energy. My libido is better. I'm sleeping more. It's life changing.
Yeah, totally. Well, this has been awesome. Michelle, if people are wanting to connect with you or work with you, where can they find you?
Yeah. So you can look me up on Facebook. I have Wellness Elevate Coaching. I have a business page, but I also have a Facebook group. So I'm sure that we can link that in the notes. And I do lots of training in there. I am on Instagram at @MichelleStiff_wellness. And I do have also, again, I've got some free guides that I can definitely share as well. But my website is wellnesselevatetribe.com. And then there's lots in there for, again, little freebies and where they can learn more about my one-on-one coaching program as well.
Sweet. Fantastic. Yeah. And send us the stuff. We'll link it up in the show notes.
Perfect.
And you can go to the show notes to find that all there and connect with Michelle if you're wanting to work with her or learn more from her about hormones and metabolism and hormone syncing. So fantastic. Thanks, Michelle, so much for coming.
Thank you so much, Amber. This was so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Hopefully that was a really informative and educational podcast for you, something that you can start to apply. I really loved the conversation that we had around rest and recovery and just those different seasons of life, those different seasons when we are feeling good during some and maybe need a little bit more rest and recovery during others. I think giving ourselves that permission to work alongside with our body, with our natural hormone cycles is such a valuable takeaway that I'm like taking away from that podcast with Michelle. Another reminder that we've linked everything up that Michelle talked about in the show notes. So if you go to bicepsafterbabies.com/306, the number of this episode, all the links will be there, easy access to everything that she mentioned. And if you are interested in TMCC, go to bicepsafterbabies.com/CERT, C-E-R-T, get your name on the wait list. We open doors twice a year, so that way when you're on the wait list, you'll make sure you'll get an email that will let you know when that's happening. And in the meantime, I highly recommend starting with our secret podcast, bicepsafterbabies.com/secret. There's 5 episodes that you can download right now and start to listen to learn more about transformational coaching. That wraps up this episode of Biceps After Babies Radio. I'm Amber. Now go out and be strong, because remember, my friend, you can do anything. Hey friend, have you heard the news? We have a Biceps After Babies Radio insider list. If you love Biceps After Babies Radio, you don't want to miss a thing. Head to bicepsafterbabies.com/insider to join the group. You'll be the first to know all things about the podcast, see some behind the scenes, and get special messages from yours truly. We want to make this a special community for those who are fans of the podcast. And last, did this episode particularly resonate with you? If so, will you please share it? Either send the link to someone who would find it valuable, or take a screenshot and post it to your social media and tell your family and friends why they should listen. Make sure you tag me at Biceps After Babies so I can hear your feedback and give you a little love. And you know, if you aren't already following me on Instagram or Facebook, that's the perfect time to hit that follow button. Thank you for being here and listening to Biceps After Babies Radio.